Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is taken from just a few verses beyond the gospel which was read, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Are you still looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the technologically gifted niece or nephew? Look no further. Saints of Virtue computer game. Finally, an exciting computer game for Christians. Put on the full armor of God and do battle with the masks of humanity, pride, vanity, worldliness. Do you have what it takes to be a saint of virtue? Windows 95.98, CD-ROM, $29.99, plus shipping and handling. Now, whether you rush out and buy this CD in order to add it to your arsenal of confirmation strategies, or use it simply as evidence of the human capacity to trivialize the sublime, the question does have merit. Do you have what it takes to be a saint of virtue? Most of us, I fear, would probably do much better as virtual saints, playing a computer game, than being genuine saints. There's a difference between virtue and virtual. Virtue is moral excellence. Virtual is unreal image. Virtual is being in effect, but not in fact. That's what virtual reality is all about, wiring everything up so that the effect is real, but the fact is not. In a virtual reality computer game, I can vanquish vanity, pummel pride, win against worldliness. But in my own heart, I have no such guarantee of victory. Do I have what it takes to be a saint of virtue? Do you? What, after all, is a saint? Our gospel lesson has given us some clues. The Beatitudes help. Surely a saint is someone poor in spirit, mourning, meek, merciful. A saint surely is pure, a peacemaker, persecuted. Jesus goes on to say that they are sharp as salt on the tongue. They're bright as a beacon set, a city set on a hill. Saints cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. All Saints' Day began in the 4th century in Antioch, when the church there decided to remember those saints whose light had shone so brightly that their enemies had to it out. And they remembered the martyrs. In the 7th century, when the festival came to Rome, it then included all saints, martyrs, and all other saints as well. As the stock market of relics and masses continued to fuel the church, the importance for All Saints' Day increased. For after all, here was a day when one could venerate the merits of all the saints all at one time. The potential was not lost on Pope Sixtus IV, who a year after the birth of Martin Luther declared All Saints a day of holy obligation. No, it was a good idea the day before to post statements for argument on the church door. The crowds were coming. But venerating the merits of the saints certainly cannot be the meaning of All Saints' Day in the Church of the Reformation. A saint is not one who has a surplus of merits. A saint is one who has received merit and forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way the confessions talk about saints. In the Apology, we hear of three different ways in which we can honor the saints. The first of these is to give thanks to God for them. We ought to give thanks to God because he has given examples of his mercy, because he has shown that he wants to save humankind, and because he has given teachers and others to the church. Since these are the greatest gifts, they ought to be extolled very highly, and we ought to praise the saints themselves for faithfully using these gifts, just as Christ praises faithful managers. I think of the great teachers of the church throughout the ages, and I stand in awe of what God was able to do through them. I think of the humble teachers who were there to train and guide me, and names like Schmidt, Mollering, Roy Soufflot, August Soufflot, Charlemagne, Klotz, Herber. Those names fill my mind, and I thank God for their life, for their witness, for their teaching. But not only are we to give thanks to God for what he is able to have been done through these saints, but we also thank him because through these saints our own faith is strengthened. Melanchthon goes on to say, when we see Peter forgiven after his denial, we too are encouraged to believe that grace truly superabounds much more over sin. Why does the saint love so much, boldly proclaim so much? Perhaps because the saint has been forgiven much. And not only do we honor saints by giving thanks to God for them, or having our own faith strengthened by the witness of their receiving of forgiveness, we honor the saints by imitation, first of their faith and then of their other virtues. We imitate that faith that they have received by which they are justified, for we too by that same faith have been justified. And then we live our lives, explain examples of how God has worked out his victory in them as he has worked it out in us. They let their light shine before men, and so do we, so that they may see the good deeds and praise their Father in heaven. But doesn't it seem at times as if the saints themselves are more preoccupied with their sin than with their sanctity? They're like the righteous in the parable of Matthew 25. When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king replies, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And the saints are surprised. It's as if Christians are always conscious of the difference between virtue and virtual, between the perfect life of Christ that was lived in our stead and the dim reflection of that life which is ours. Perhaps the word virtual is a good word to apply in this instance. For certainly it is true in effect that we stand before the throne of God justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in no other way. And yet, the fact remains that daily we fight against sin. Daily we are muddied and bruised in that battle. Daily we return to the mercy of God through his Son Jesus Christ for forgiveness. In Graham Greene's novel, The Power and the Glory, the main character is also an individual who is unable to believe that he is a saint. He's a priest. He serves in a remote state of Mexico, which during the 1930s is enduring severe persecution of the church. Churches have been burned. Priests have been forced to marry or to flee. And those who will not face execution. For 8 years he has been in hiding, moving from place to place, holding a service here, holding a service there. Finally, traversing swamp and jungle and mountain, he finally is able to get himself across the border. He's safe. Then the message comes, a messenger. There's a criminal dying who wants to make confession. It's a trap. The criminal's back on the other side of the border. It's a trap. He knows it's a trap. But he goes anyway. Now it's the evening before he faces the firing squad. He's in his cell. He's alone. He can't seem to think of his years of service or his years of hiding. All he can think about is what a poor priest he has been. He is a whiskey priest. He's an alcoholic. He frequently was drunk. He fathered a child. He lorded it over his parish just the way his persecutors have charged him. He didn't stay during those years because he was so brave. He just never got around to leaving. He thought things between the church and state would eventually all get worked out. He didn't even return to hear the confession out of courage, but out of fear that he would fail to do what was right one more time. So that evening, as he's about to receive martyrdom, the thought never crosses his mind. He felt only an immense disappointment because he had to go to God empty-handed, with nothing done at all. It seemed to him at that moment that it would have been quite easy to have been a saint. It would only have needed a little self-restraint and a little courage. He felt like someone who had missed happiness by seconds at an appointed place. He knew now that at the end there was only one thing that counted: to be a saint. If only Graham Greene had allowed his character to know the truth. He was a saint. Precisely because his hands were empty. Empty hands are able to receive. Do you have what it takes to be a saint of virtue? Look at your hands. Are they empty? Good. Empty hands are blessed hands. Empty hands are able to receive, free to give, free to shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. For you are saints of virtue, not your own, but Christ's. You have been given what it takes. Amen.